Summer is a time for lots of missions opportunities, not only the Dominican Republic trip, trip to Boston to serve there. We've had Love Loud here at the church. You'll get to hear from others coming up. Erin Phelps is back from Cambodia from a year of service there, and she'll be sharing with us on a Wednesday night coming up. Rose McPherson was here in worship a couple of Sundays ago. She is back in the White Bull area from serving in Uganda for 3 years and praying about what next step, what it is God wants her to do next. And we should all be praying about that. What does God want us to do right here at home, or where does God want us to go? And I often encourage us, always encourage us, to plug in to mission trips and mission opportunities as we serve our Jerusalem, our Judea and Samaria, and then go around the world as the Bible teaches. But you may ask, well, how do I know what God wants me to do? Or maybe you feel a little bit hesitant to sign up or to plug in. And I can understand that, because we often think that going somewhere far like that, well, that takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage to do that. Maybe you don't feel like you're up to that just yet. I remember last summer about this time, I was preparing for a mission trip to Kenya. And as part of that trip, I needed inoculation. So to finish the preparations, I had to get some inoculations, and a couple of those could only be done at Wilmington in the health center there. So I drove out there, made an appointment, drove out there, and the one that sticks in my mind is the yellow fever inoculation. Nothing like somebody sitting there saying, you know, you're going to a hot spot for yellow fever. You need to be inoculated for that. I'm like, do I even want to know what happens if you get yellow fever? I don't really think I want to know that. But as the nurse was asking me this, and she was preparing for my yellow fever inoculation, looking at the map, and she raised her eyebrows a little bit. Seriously, she said, wow, that's where you're going. Well, you're really going to need this. And then she paused and she said, you've got a lot of courage to go there. I said, don't tell my wife that, because that's... In truth, I had not even thought about it that way. I didn't think about it as doing something courageous. And to be perfectly honest, I still don't. Because here's what I think. I think it takes far more courage to serve the Lord Jesus day by day, in and out, be faithful to Christ in the routines of life, than it does to go to another country for a week or two. I think it takes far more courage to be faithful to Christ right where you are, at the job you have, in the family you have, with the friends you have, in the church you're at, in the community you are. It takes more courage to serve Christ day by day, especially if you're the kind of believer that serves the Lord Jesus, or you're striving to serve Christ in an environment or among people that are not all that friendly to your faith. Maybe it's where you work. Maybe it's a family member or two. Maybe it's someone you see occasionally in the community. Maybe it's someone you see at school. But you have relationships, you have circumstances in your life that make it difficult at times, press in on you at times, trouble you at times, just because you're striving to serve Christ. Those are the times it takes courage. That's when it takes courage and confidence in the Lord to stand up, to step up and say, I will serve Christ in these circumstances. And we all need that kind of courage sometimes. We all need that kind of courage. But this morning, I'm going to be talking to those of us in this room today who are in the midst of that kind of pressure, tough situation, when it takes courage every day to roll out of bed and go to work, or roll out of bed and deal with family or family members who are not friendly to your faith. It takes courage to do that. At some point, we're all going to need that, but some of us today need that. We need it because we're getting ready for tomorrow. We've been in a message series in the life of Elijah this summer, and we're going to meet an individual we have not met before. A man that Elijah encounters, and he encounters Elijah for the first time. And this is a man who displays courage and confidence in God in a somewhat unlikely way. We're going to learn this morning a basic truth through the lives and the intersecting lives of these men. And it's that God gives courage to those who are faithful to Him. God gives courage to those who are faithful to Him. If you're in that sort of pressure situation, tough places you live or work to serve the Lord, you can know that God gives you courage to serve Him in those situations. When we are faithful to God, He gives us courage. Find in your Bible again the Old Testament book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, and this time chapter 18. 1 Kings and chapter 18. As we come into the story, we will find Elijah has spoken with God, and God has told Elijah that the drought is about to end. It's been right at 3 years. The drought is about to end. And he tells Elijah to come out of hiding. And it's time, he tells Elijah, to go back home and to confront Ahab, the wicked king, once more. The last time he talked to Ahab is when the drought started 3 years ago. And he told Ahab, he declared God's word that this drought was going to, no rain would fall, no dew would be on the ground, and a drought would come until God lifted that drought. So now God has released him and told him, come out of hiding and go and face Ahab and declare that the drought is about to end. And while he is on his way, he encounters a young man or a gentleman that becomes the core of the story, the main person in the story. So look there with me at 1 Kings chapter 18. We'll start reading at verse 1. And the Bible says that after a long time, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, go and present yourself to Ahab. I will send rain on the surface of the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. The famine was severe in Samaria. Now Samaria, you'll recall, is a biblical term for the northern kingdom of Israel, just often referred to as Samaria in the Old Testament. The famine was severe in Samaria. Ahab called for Obadiah, who was in charge of the palace. Obadiah was a man who greatly feared the Lord and took 100 prophets and hid them, 50 men, into a cave and provided them with food and water when Jezebel slaughtered the Lord's prophets. Ahab said to Obadiah, go throughout the land to every spring and to every wadi. Perhaps we'll find grass so we can keep the horses and mules alive and not have to destroy any cattle. So they divided the land between them in order to cover it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went the other way by himself. When Obadiah was walking along the road, Elijah suddenly met him. When Obadiah recognized him, he fell face down and he said, is it you, my Lord Elijah? It is I, he replied. Go tell your Lord, that is meaning Ahab, go tell your Lord, Elijah is here. But Obadiah said, what sin have I committed that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to put me to death? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord has not sent someone to search for you. And when they said he is not here, he made that kingdom or nation swear that they had not found you. Now you say, go tell your Lord that Elijah is here. But when I leave you, the Spirit of the Lord may carry you off to some place that I don't know. And then when I go to report to Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Wasn't it reported to my Lord that what I did when Jezebel slaughtered the Lord's prophets? I hid 100 of the prophets of the Lord, 50 men to a cave, and I provided them with food and water. Now you say, go tell your Lord Elijah is here. He will kill me. Then Elijah said, as the Lord of armies lives, in whose presence I stand, today I will present myself to Ahab. In the Old Testament, there are a lot of men named Obadiah. There's even a prophet Obadiah for whom a book of the Bible is named. This one we have not met yet, and there's not much else said about him in the Old Testament, but suddenly he appears in the story with Elijah. And we're told what we need to know about Obadiah. We're told that he is the manager of the household of Ahab. That is, he is the key person in the palace. He is the administrator of Ahab's palace. But more important than that, the first thing we are told about Obadiah is that he fears the Lord. That's the first thing we're told, because that's the most important thing. And it's repeated by Obadiah himself. He has feared the Lord, he says, since his youth. What that teaches us right away is that more than anything else in his life or any other person in his life, Obadiah fears God. Now, it doesn't mean that he is constantly cowering before God or afraid that God will strike him down. What it means is he has a healthy fear of Almighty God. He knows where he stands because he knows who God is. and he worships God, and he serves God, and he is faithful to God. So the most striking trait of his character is that he has a healthy fear of God. He has a healthy relationship with God. That's the reason he has courage in the midst of these circumstances. Our courage comes not from some deep personal well within us. It comes from our relationship with God. It begins with and continues with a relationship with God. And the Bible shows, demonstrates, and teaches that courage is a component of that relationship. That when you want to serve God in the midst of a difficult circumstance, God in his nature and character in your life brings you courage. He gives you courage and confidence in him. He always gives courage to those who are faithful to him. So in this story, we see Obadiah grow in that courage. Over the years, I have read this story repeated in different Bible studies and books and even in sermons, and often Obadiah is pointed out as a cowardly person. He was someone who was afraid to go speak to Ahab. He was afraid to do what Elijah asked. I don't agree with that. I think what we have here is a man who has served God faithfully, as he put it, from his youth. He has feared God from his youth. And throughout his lifetime, he has sought to fear God and serve God in good times and in bad times. The kings of Israel would come and go. There would be good kings and bad kings, wicked kings like Ahab, good kings that served God, wicked kings that brought idolatry into the land. The kings of Israel would come and go, but Obadiah was always there. That is to say, he is saying, I have grown up in this land. And maybe he even means in the palace, as a servant in the palace. But he has grown up, and from his youth, he has been known as a man who feared God and served God. Courage in our character, courage in our relationship with God, is progressive. It grows. Each time we trust God enough to demonstrate courage and confidence in him, God grows us to be more courageous. Most of us sitting here this morning, probably, if I ask you on the way out, are you courageous? You would probably say, well, you'd either say, well, why do you want to know? Or you would say, well, I don't think of myself as courageous, because typically we don't. That's a good starting point, because if we think of ourselves as brave and courageous, we forget to rely on God. And God wants to give us his courage, and he will do that in whatever circumstance we're in. God will give us that courage, and he will grow us in courage step by step, as we trust him in that circumstance. Maybe that's your circumstance today. It's a tough time. It's difficult to live your faith. You're having a hard time with it. You're wondering where God is. Well, the good news is God is right with you, and he will give you courage. Let's return to the story for a moment. I want us to look back into the story to see how it is that God gives us courage when we are faithful to him, and how that courage grows in our relationship with him, what we should do to be a part of that. For example, first, be faithful to your place. Be faithful to your place. Serve God where he has put you. Serve God where he has put you. You're not accidentally in the relationships and at the job you're at. If you're a believer in Christ, you understand God puts you in a place to serve him. So we should be faithful to God in that place. Obadiah, we are told, is in a unique place. His unique place is that he is the household manager for an evil man. He is a believer. He loves God. He fears God. But now he is serving his master, or the terminology that he and Elijah use, his lord with a lowercase l, is an evil man, an evil king married to a more evil woman, Jezebel, who slaughtered the prophets of God. That's the house he lives in. That's the job that he has. That's the environment in which he gets up every day and seeks to serve God. That's his place. Elijah has a different place. Elijah's place is to be a bold preacher that travels. Wherever God sends him, that's where Elijah goes. But God's call is for both men to be faithful to that place. In truth, there are three men in this story. There's Obadiah, there's Elijah, and there's Ahab. Ahab is evil. Elijah is faithful and bold and public. And right in the middle, you've got Obadiah. Obadiah, who seeks to serve God faithfully right where he is, day by day, against the strain and the stress of an unfriendly environment, an environment that's even hostile to the very God that he loves. God puts us where he wants us. And until God tells us differently, that's where he wants us to serve him. That environment might change. The people around you might change. The employees around you might change. Bosses even come and go. Your relationship with family members might change. But until God tells you differently, God has put you in that place to serve him. On that pull-off tab for the Disciple Life course that's coming up, you've got Experiencing God as one of those Disciple Life courses. I love that course. If you've never taken it, you need to sign up for it. It's written by Henry Blackaby, and now it's been published millions of times, studied by millions of people. It has seven core realities for experiencing God. The basic idea is looking for where God is working and joining him in what he's doing. And one of the things that is taught in that study that has stuck with me all these years that Henry Blackaby and his son Richard Blackaby teach constantly is serve God where he has put you until he takes you somewhere else. It's just that simple. The last place God put you is where God wants you to serve him. And if it's a place that lasts a little while or a long time, the last place God put you, that's where you serve God until God comes and takes you somewhere else. See, our tendency is to look at a hostile or difficult environment, and we're constantly focused on that and distracted by that, and we're thinking, I want to get out of here. I want to change jobs. I want to get away from this person. I don't want to talk to my neighbor who's so hostile. Why did God put me in this neighborhood? Why did God put me in this job? And so we're focused on that, and we're distracted by that. We're thinking in our minds, I want to get out of this. God is saying, I put you in that. I'm keeping you there for a reason. I want you to be there because I can use you there. Be faithful in your place, and God will give you courage to do it. In Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing young believers while he's in prison in Rome. And in this Roman imprisonment, he says that he is being held by the Praetorian Guard. Now, the Praetorian Guard was the palace guard. They were basically the bodyguards of the emperor. But there were 10,000 of them around the Roman palace and in the city of Rome. So often, if there was a high-level prisoner, they would guard that prisoner. In this occasion, on this time, Paul was considered that kind of prisoner. And to be chained to a Praetorian guard meant physically chained. And every 6 hours, they would rotate the guard who was watching over Paul. Now, if that were you and I, we would be just so distraught and we would be so discouraged that God's got me in prison and I'm being watched by the worst people there are. None of them were believers in the Praetorian Guard, and they hate Christians. I mean, you just make the list as long as you like to make it. And we would be saying, God, get me out of here. You know what Paul said? Because I am here, the gospel is going forth into the Praetorian Guard. God couldn't have worked it out better. And every 6 hours, I get a new one. I get to talk to a new one. I get to share the gospel with that one. And then another comes in, I get to share the gospel with him. He wrote the Philippians and said, make no mistake, the gospel is going forth because God has me in prison in Rome. Be faithful to your place. Look at it God's way. Why does God have you here? What does God want you to change? What does God want you to do? And God will give you courage. He will provide you courage every day and every moment to stay firm for him, even in a difficult environment, because he's there with you. So to build that courage, be faithful in that place. Secondly, be faithful to your priority. Be faithful to your priority. What is it that God wants you to remember all the time? Why are you there in that place? What is it God wants you to remember in your relationships? The main thing God wants you to always remember, your number one priority, is to serve God. To serve God. Obadiah is remembered for a particular act of courage He doesn't call it that, but that's what it was. And it meant so much to him to validate his faith in God that he repeats it to Elijah. Haven't you heard what I did? Well, what did he do? Well, when Jezebel, Ahab's wife, was slaughtering the prophets of God because they disagreed with the idolatry in the land, Obadiah snuck 100 prophets out and he hid them in caves and in caverns. Then he fed them food and water in a time of drought. Where do you suppose he got the food and water? He got it from the palace, remember? He's the manager of the palace. So he was sneaking food and water out of the palace and he was taking it to these prophets that he has hidden away in these caves. And by doing so, he has made it clear what his priority is. He has but one priority. That is the truth and the word of God and the people of God. And no matter what environment he is in, no matter the difficulty of his situation, he is going to serve God. As the story says, he and Ahab calls him and says, we need to go out into the land. The drought is very severe. We need to make sure the livestock are going to survive. Find whatever grass that we can, whatever springs are not dried up. We need to find these, find grass, or we're going to have to start killing the livestock. So Ahab sends Obadiah one way, and Ahab goes the other way. And personally, he doesn't send extra people out. He personally goes looking. The king is wandering the countryside looking for this grass, and he wants to keep the cattle alive. Notice Ahab's priorities. Ahab's priority is to keep his cows alive, while his wife slaughters the prophets of God. He is so far removed from a God-fearing person, from fearing God or caring about the things of God, it doesn't even occur to him that he is killing the men of God and trying to keep his animals alive. But Obadiah, his priority is the things of God. And he walks that fine line, that balance that so many of us are familiar with. And in serving God, and the priority is God in a hostile environment, I still have this job. I still must do my work. I still have to show some respect for employers as well. So he does what Ahab asked. He goes out looking for a place, water and grass for the animals. But he's already shown who he really is and that he has protected the prophets of God and he's been feeding them out of the storehouse of the palace. Be faithful to this priority. I serve God. It doesn't mean in every circumstance it's going to be easy. There's going to be sometimes a fine line to walk. But if we understand our priority, whatever job we have, whatever family gathering we are at, this is our priority. We serve God. We serve God. And God will give courage to those who are faithful with that priority, to always serve Him. Then last, be faithful to your purpose. Be faithful to your purpose. Just like we have one priority to serve God, we have one purpose, to serve God in the place where God has put us. That's our purpose. It's not hard to define that, but sometimes it's hard to live by that. But if we will live by that purpose, if we will remember God has put us in this place, then we will see God at work. We will see God's providential hand working in relationships and working in our lives. Obadiah thought that Ahab is the one that decided which direction he would go. But by the providence of God, Obadiah was given the direction to go that would lead him right to the path of Elijah. That was not an accident. That was God's hand at work. Obadiah's purpose so far has been to serve God faithfully in a difficult and hostile environment. And he has done his best to do just that. He has sought to serve God right there where God put him. And by doing that, he's been serving God. He's kept his priorities straight. Now God wants to add to that a greater purpose. God has called out Obadiah for a purpose, and at this point, Obadiah doesn't even realize it. Not yet. But Obadiah is on his way, and he's hunting grass and water for the king, and he's no doubt thinking about all those prophets that he's got hidden away in the cave somewhere. And he comes upon Elijah. And this is what God's been preparing him for. This is why it was so important for Obadiah to stay put and to serve God in the palace, that hostile, difficult environment, but be faithful to God there, because now God has a greater purpose for Obadiah. Obadiah meets Elijah on the road, recognizes him right away, heralds him as the prophet that everyone is looking for. And Elijah says that he's on his way to meet Ahab. The last time Elijah talked to Ahab is when he stood in front of Ahab and declared the drought that was about to come. So for 3 years, Ahab has been hunting him. And as Obadiah says, in every kingdom, every village, every city, every town, he has sent men out to find you. And they've been unsuccessful. And here you are, standing on the road, right in front of me. And Elijah says, go tell Ahab I've come home. And Obadiah pauses just a minute. He says, let me get this straight. You want me to go to the king and tell him that Elijah has come home? You want me to go to the king and tell him the fugitive he's been looking for 3 years has been hiding right under his nose in a widow's house. That'll come out later. But he's right here. He's come home. Now, Elijah, here's the thing. Everyone's been out looking for you. And nobody comes back and says they found you when they haven't, because the king would kill them. And if I go tell the king that I have found you and I bring the king back to where you are and you're not here, because God has whisked you away somewhere else to do some other ministry, to preach to some other king. If you're not here, he will kill me. And haven't I been faithful? Did you like his speech? We make it to God all the time. Why are you doing this to me? Haven't I been faithful? I'm the one that hid the prophets. Did you not get the word? Did you not read that in the paper? Surely God recognizes me. Why would God put me in harm's way? Why would you send me to Ahab? Because when I get back, we all know what's going to happen. You're going to be gone. Now, what's he really saying? Here's what he's saying. Elijah, I know you trust God. I'm trying to figure out if I can trust God right now. I've been living for God. I've been faithful to God. I've been doing my best. But I'm not sure. He might be asking a little more than I can do. The core of courage is trust. That's what God's asking of you. God will give you the courage to step up, but first he's going to say, I want you to step out. I want to know if you trust me enough to believe that I am here, that I will stay put, that I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. I want to know if you trust me enough to do what I'm asking you to do. That's the question before all of us. Yes, you've been faithful, and God knows that. Yes, you've trusted him even in the struggles. God knows that. But God wants to know if you'll trust him now. If you'll step out in faith and do what God wants you to do. I love Elijah's answer. I love Elijah's answer. He speaks for the Lord of armies, the God of all creation, the Lord of armies, which is the Lord of hosts, as the prophets would say. And notice what he says, as I stand before the Lord, I will be here when you come back. When was the last time Elijah said that? He said it to Ahab 3 years ago. As I stand in the presence of the Lord, as I have just been with God, I am here to tell you that I'm telling you the truth and I'm speaking for God. God is asking you, do you have the courage to trust him? And he's also saying, I'll give you the courage if you'll step out and trust me. Dallas Willard is an author and teacher in Texas. And in one of his books, he tells a little story that reflects his own life, because as a child, his mom passed away when he was very young. And he tells this little story of a little boy whose mother passes away. And of course, the little boy each night has difficulty falling asleep. So as he tells the story, the little boy each night will go into his dad's room and he'll say, "Father, can I get in bed with you?" And the father says, "Of course you can." The little boy climbs into bed. And they're in the bed, and the lights are off, and it's kind of dark, and it's getting quiet. And the little boy says, "Father." And Dad says, "Yes." He says, "Are you looking at me?" The father says, "What?" And he says, "Father, are you looking at me?" You see, it's not enough to be in bed with him. It's not enough to be close to him. He wants to know if his father's looking at him. The father says, "I am looking at you, son." And the son says, "Father, is your face turned toward me?" And he says, "Son, my face is turned toward you. You are safe, and I am here." And as the story goes, then the boy would rest for the night. You could be one in this room this morning. Your environment is tough. Your life is tough. It takes courage just to roll out of bed sometimes in the morning, doesn't it? It's good to be reminded that God hasn't gone anywhere. God is right here asking you if you trust him. And his face is turned toward you. And he's telling you, "You're safe. I'm here. I haven't gone anywhere. Just trust me for this next step." It could be this morning that that's what you needed to hear from God. That you need his courage. You need his confidence. You need him to be present. And you needed to hear again from God, "I haven't gone anywhere. I'll be right here. Right here if you need me." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, you are our Father. And we know your face is turned to us. Father, I pray for each one in this room, God, who needs courage today. It needs to be reminded, God, that we can trust you for what comes next, for whatever you ask of us, God. And Father, I pray that we're being faithful in our place, we're being faithful to our priorities, God, and we're being faithful to our purpose that you've called us to serve you. And God, I pray that you would give us the courage and the faith to step out in faith today, to step out to trust you more deeply. I pray for that one who needs Christ today as their Savior, that they would be saved today, that they would find the loving grace of God in Jesus Christ and trust Jesus to save and forgive them today. And I pray for us also, Father, as believers in Christ, living in difficult situations, difficult routines of life, God, that today we would turn to you and find that you're facing us, and we would trust you, God, for what comes next. Give us courage today, wherever that's needed, God. Maybe it's courage in our jobs, courage in our finances, courage in our families. Maybe it's courage just to face the future. Maybe it's courage, God, in a confusing situation. Maybe we need courage, God, in the mystery of our health conditions. Maybe courage in sickness. Maybe courage in broken relationships, God. Whatever it is, Father, I pray for us today that you would give us courage and confidence in you. Father, as we go to a time of response, I pray, Father, that we would respond to Christ today, that we would come praying, that we would come in faith, that we would take those steps of faith, God, that grow our courage today. But most of all, God, we would simply trust you more deeply today and meet you here. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.